你以为无限的表达，除了真相放空便是娱乐。伦敦有耳，转眼间已经到了四月，春分已经过了。大家好，我是 Lucy， 这里是伦敦有耳，我和 Justin 在伦敦跟大家一起分享音乐。
Hello, this is Justin, and welcome to London Ears again.
It's already April, it's springtime, and we should sing some ode to love.
Spring has sprung, and everybody is feeling all loved up. So we are playing Ode to Love, which is by Austin Peralta. We recorded this in 2011.Seems he was quite a child prodigy. I think he was only born 1990, so very young.
Young but dead.
Okay.
正在播放的第一首歌来自一位年少成名但是不久已经于人世的年轻的爵士钢琴手 Austin Peralta. Peralta?
Peralta.
Oh, yes, right. 1990年在洛杉矶出生，16岁的时候已经跟一位前辈贝斯大师 Ron Carter 一起同台合作。这首 Ode to Love, 爱之颂歌，发行于2011年，但只不过过了一年以后，22岁的 Austin 就因为药物过量而去世。He was a child prodigy, but we barely heard about him.
No, this is the first time I've heard about him, and I know lots of things. But what is interesting, he was the son of one of the founders of the Powell and Peralta Skateboard Company, which I knew very well when I was young.
What's that?
Skateboard company.
I see, daddy or mummy?
Well, his daddy was Peralta, Powell and Peralta.
那挺有意思的，我们刚才还在说，因为年纪轻轻就离开了，虽然是年少成名，但是现在知道他的人并不多，爵士乐界知道他的人可能也不太多。但是刚才 Justin 他留意到 Peralta 这名字，然后发现他的父亲其实是一位开滑板公司的老板，然后这个滑板公司还挺有名的。那 Justin 比较小的时候 ，Have you bought the skateboard before?
Not me personally. I think my brother did when we were little.
所以 Justin 的弟弟还买过他们家的滑板。
But anyway, the music.
说回音乐吧。
I was about to say that so far the piano has been quite restrained and more decoration, but I guess he's starting to play now, so. It's all very smooth. Quite refined.Lovers.
Guess you can't be too rough when if you're singing an ode to love song. Justin 觉得他的在至少在这段乐曲里面的钢琴的弹法还比较的丝滑。
Depends on your style of loving. Some people can be quite passionate、
right.
and violent.
We can stop there now.
Okay, back to music again.
Austin 的风格如果在其他他的乐曲他的演奏里面可能会听得更多的后波普 post-bop 的影响，然后他的即兴能力也其实挺强的。
So why did you discover this? Why did you choose this? As we just said, we hadn't really heard of him before.
I don't remember. There's all sorts of ways to discover music, isn't it? And I think this is definitely not the first song I listened to him. It's something else, more improvising, more random and not as smooth, as refined as you said it. But it's just this one is quite easy listening for a starting of spring.
Interesting. Love is flowering, so
yeah.
Let us celebrate it with some nice music. But I like it. I like the piano. I think it is smooth, but it's quite interesting still. The solo was quite nice.
I guess if you think about his age, if you don't just listen to music, sometimes the background also matters. That for someone that young, and if you can play that refined.
This is true. I guess still fresh with ideas at that age, discovering all the time, and you haven't developed your style quite yet, I guess, or you haven't developed a set way of playing things, which might happen after time.
It is quite a controlled and restrained piece, I would say. 刚才 Justin 也提到了，他的弹法还挺自控的，挺有火候，挺够火候的。然后你想想，他不过是一个当时是21岁的小朋友，然后真的是挺棒的。
Now a flower blooms. In the shape of some choral work, which I will let you introduce this time.
From a very young person to a very old person, 从21岁的少年天才突然跨到了400年前，甚至更久远一点，1585年的一首作品，来自西班牙的一位文艺复兴的时期的作曲家托马斯·路易斯·德·维多利亚。This music, among many other Renaissance music, you might not find much differences in it, but then I guess you have to read and listen a lot and to compare and to discover the differences in it. First of all, I think when I listened to this music, what grabbed me was this way, the singing style that you can hear, that this choral.The choir, they use a lot of their throat to make sounds. Unlike lots of other more refined choir. So this one, because they use a lot of this throat sound, it makes it sound quite passionate. And in the way that at that time, music didn't really have that sort of passion.
Quite raw, I guess. Feeling it more.Than just doing it for the sake of being pretty.
托马斯·维多利亚是当时不光是西班牙最有名的文艺复兴时期的作曲家，而且在整个欧洲他也是非常的突出。是因为刚才我解释了一下，跟 Justin 说，如果你只是把他的音乐跟其他的文艺复兴时期的作曲家的作品放在一起，也许分不出来他们大致有什么不一样。但是，假如阅读一些资料，再仔细听他一些细节，我觉得这首作品它首先抓住我的地方，是因为这个歌唱的风格，他们用了许多的喉音发声，这让他们跟其他合唱团唱诗班的一种非常圣洁的感觉完全分别出来，分别开来。这种喉音的发声让人感觉特别的有激情。而我们选的这首音乐来自托马斯·维多利亚的《受难对答经》，是1959年的录音，来自西敏寺唱诗班的一个录音，由乔治·马尔科姆指挥，里面有18首经文歌， 为四个声部的无伴奏合唱而作，唱词是拉丁文。1585年在罗马出版的时候，当时是应节，而且是这个受难对答经，大概的内容是跟复活节有关系。
So yes, Maundy Thursday is the holy day celebrating the Last Supper, which I believe, if I remember this correctly, shortly after that, Judas betrayed Jesus. And I guess this is 18 motets for Judas. So it has to do with that, which is coincidental because Easter was only last week.
刚才提到了复活节，然后刚好我们这边在英国刚刚过了一周的复活节假期，然后这时候放这个音乐还有一点应节。之所以选择这首音乐，是因为上个月在马德里，我的酒店外面恰好对着一座16世纪建起来的赤足女，名字叫做赤足女修道院，就是不穿鞋子的女子修道院。但是在成为修道院之前，我发现这里原来是，就是那座修道院原来是西班牙统一之后第一位国王卡洛斯一世，也是当时神圣罗马帝国国王查理五世的皇宫。然后结果慢慢的在挖在挖，就突然发现他还是现在这首音乐的作者托马斯·维多利亚生命中最后24年工作和生活的地方。然后这个偶然的发现，我突然真是让我狂喜，因为我这首音乐听了很久，这个版本的音乐，这种偶然的在旅行的时候的发现，就会让我真是浑身起满鸡皮。I don't know if you can hear also, I mean, if we read about it, that's about this music, this composer. It's a lot about he broke through quite a lot of grounds that nobody had done before him, like a lot of dissonant chords, and this is supposed to be prohibited at those times.
Yeah, I always found that a really strange concept of...prohibited things in music. I remember somebody telling me this when I was learning, studying music many years ago. Things like parallel fifths were not allowed. And it's like, why? I don't understand. It's just music. Why is it not allowed?
Justin 说在他很小的时候学音乐的时候，老师很清楚地跟他说，纯五度，对，平行五度，连续的五度是不可以的，是被禁止的。然后他当时非常不理解，为什么音乐有这么多的规矩，为什么不可以用连续的五度。 So I looked it up, why not? Apparently it's too boring if it's a consecutive fifths like that. So it was not allowed.
There you go. Arbitrary decisions on what is interesting and boring by somebody who wrote a book many years ago. I think I'm going to write a new book about what is boring and shouldn't be allowed.
而且这种平行五度的禁止是其实只是在大概18世纪，就是古典主义和浪漫主义时期为主的古典音乐里面的对位法的写作是被禁止的，其实是在很多的民间音乐流传下来的民歌就很多，不论是在西方还是东方。And then when we come back to this piece of music, although they said that it was quite revolutionary, has caused some breakthrough, and he did some things that he was not allowed to do, but we probably couldn't hear it because it's not really dissonant, like dissonant sounds that we describe today. It's just like, what do you say, that ascending major sixth, that just like so normal, but it was not allowed then.
This is the thing with all these things that were revolutionary. They don't sound revolutionary now because that was a long time ago and things have moved on. So it's always difficult coming back to things that kind of broke the mould way after the mold has already been broken, and you're used to the fact that the mold has been broken and the mold is very different now.
Yes, moldy. 托马斯·维多利亚当时有很多突破，包括他当时做了许多革新。16世纪的对位法里面是不允许出现比如说上行的大六度，然后他会用到上行大六度，但是我们现在听起来的话其实听不出来有多么的革新，因为这些突破，这些新的路早已经变成了老路，早已经成了常规的路。 Is this the old mo?
Maybe starting to grow mold, I don't know. But this is a track called L1 by Nicola Ratti, who is an Italian musician and sound designer. I think this was 2017? Yes, from an album called Collection.
说到革新，那就换一种音乐的风格，不知道能不能还算革新。是2017年来自意大利的一位所谓的 What's that? Music? What? Sound designer? How do you call that?
Sound designer?
What does that mean, sound designer? Is it a musician or is it 声响设计？到底是不是算音乐家呢？还是只是从声学上面去做一些设计和革新？Anyway, 这位音乐人的名字叫做 Nicola Ratti, 来自他2017年的作品 L1.
I guess sound designer probably is somebody who makes sounds outside of the context of music. So I guess computer games, films, sound effects, and I guess you could say some sort of sound art as well.
对啊，音效设计可能是相对于纯音乐的或者是传统意义上的音乐创作而言，那像 Justin 他会觉得像比如说电脑游戏，像声音效果，像电影的声音效果。 So why do you choose this one?
I like this because it is quite a minimal piece of musicIt is repetitive, but for some reason it doesn't feel that repetitive. I guess the rhythms are slightly awkward, and I guess it sounds a little bit blurred, if you like. I guess the delays and the reverbs and the sort of granular whatever he's doing with it just makes it sound a bit not repetitive, a bit awkward and scattered.
So I'm going to summarize that the reason you like it is because it is blurry and awkward.
Well, you know, electronic music typically is very kind of straight and regimented and everything's on the beat and in time. And I'm sure this is as well, but it just doesn't sound like it.
这是 Justin 的选择，一首电子音乐。但是他觉得并没有许多电子音乐的常规的单一节奏，有一点点的奇怪奇葩，又有一点的无法抓住要点的电子音乐，是 Justin 的可以让 Justin 眼前一亮的作品，而且同时也有一种极简的反复，但是又不会太过沉闷的反复。
And it's a bit dissonant, and maybe it sounds a bit like a swarm of bees in some sort of dystopian landscape.
嗯，不和谐，这个我也同意，这个是我觉得很有意思的地方。像一窝蜂。 Are we going back to the garden and flowers again? Because that's the season when bees are coming back.
Very possibly. Dystopian spring where the bees are broken and looking to feed on human flesh, I don't know.
这种听上去像不和谐的反乌托邦的一窝蜂飞来。I'll tell you what, it's more dystopian. It's the next song. I don't think anyone can guess this musician's age if we know nothing about her.现在转出来的音乐也相当的反乌托邦，有一种肯定是反主流文化的声响。然后我刚才跟 Justin 说，假如大家都不知道他是谁的话，估计谁都猜不着现在唱歌的这一位音乐人的年纪。
Does sound quite up to date and modern and.Is 2024 released, so it is bang up to date and modern. It is by Kim Gordon and it is called Bye Bye. Toothpaste, brush, and she was obviously in Sonic Youth and is born 1953, so what, 71? That's. I don't know, that makes me feel old actually more than anything else.
2024年的发行来自 Kim Gordon， 专辑名字叫做 The Collective， 然后这一首音乐叫做 Bye Bye。 Kim Gordon 光说名字可能不知道，但是他是摇滚乐队 Sonic Youth 的贝斯手，然后他的出生于1953年，今年已经71岁，听不出来吧？是父母的一辈，长辈的一辈。Sonic Youth 在2011年解散以后 ，Kim Gordon 自己做了很多事情，单飞，画画，视觉艺术，然后还写回忆录。最近几年也一直在出新的专辑。I want to see her live.
That would be quite interesting. Is she playing? When?
Summer.
Ooh, we shall go then. We shall go.
我所看到的，今年 Kim Gordon 他会在奥地利南部的一个艺术节露面，然后在伦敦应该也会有至少一场，而且他的现场。它不是一个挺大的地方 It's not a big venue. It's quite an intimate venue. It's going to be quite nice. It's in Coco.
Coco. Okay, Coco. That is quite big. But okay. Not like huge big. But still quite big. It's an old theatre.
Only £35.
Bargain.
35磅的门票真是对于一个这样的资历的音乐人来说并不算贵。 No, it is bargain, I think.
We sure definitely have to go then. But I think, I suppose if you know her history and know that she's played in Sonic Youth, I guess it's not that surprising, even if you're a little older than the normal pop crowd these days.If that's what you've been doing all your life, then why not?
Now what I've been thinking is that I wonder, I genuinely wonder if she, because she liked this style so much, and she keeps doing it, or because she never grew up.
Yeah, it could be both. I guess, like a lot of people, they stick with what they like and build upon that for the rest of their lives. If she started doing choral music or, I don't know, rap music, then maybe that would be more shocking.
I don't think so. I think if she started doing choral music, one would think that that is like the normal process. It's like usually people, when they grow older, they grow smoother. And when they are more mature, they usually go for a more mellow and milder form of art. But it's not her. You have to think that. I mean, this style of music usually is like driven by hormone when you were young, you would say. I mean, a lot of people would think that way, and then you grow out of it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. But maybe people don't think in that same way. Maybe people who create this kind of thing are not driven by their hormones. Maybe they are just genuinely like stuff like this, rather than feel the need to, I don't know, not be angry, because it's not necessarily angry music, but I don't know, the aesthetic of it is more important than the actual feeling behind it, if that makes sense. Like, you might make really heavy metal music, but it might not be because you're like super angry devil worshipper. It might just be that for some reason that kind of aesthetic appeals to you.
Yeah, I know.
And then you go back to your convent afterwards and live in an empty room in quiet.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying that I understand lots of people who make angry music, it's because it's usually at their teen. Then when they grow out of that stage of life, they grow out of that music stage as well. And I'm sure that is like a major percentage of musicians. And that's why it's like a common sense thing that people just move on to like mature, so they are doing something like quieter, like calmer. So what I'm saying is that she's quite special.
Yeah, maybe she just hasn't matured in the same way.
<笑>说了一大堆说的是一般我们环顾四周发现其实比如说年轻时候做朋克的，做愤怒的音乐摇滚青年，到中年以后就会慢慢的沉静下来，温和下来，然后转向，要不是乐队解散了，或者就是音乐会改变方向，改变风格。但是这个 Kim Gordon 他挺特别的，因为他好像我刚才在想，我们在讨论的是要不他是一直没有长大，要不就是他真的是非常喜欢这种音乐。然后 Justin 继续补充说，是你做某一种风格的音乐，未必是因为你是那样的人，未必你就是一个愤怒的人，可能你就是因为他的审美，从审美上面喜欢他，而不是因为比如你去做金属音乐，未必你就是一个相当金属音乐性格的人，可能你是一个特别温和的人，只是因为重金属的那种审美风格特别对你的胃口。但是71岁高龄仍然玩出这样的音乐，确实会令人觉得很喜欢。
Some people also just don't stop being angry. Not that, okay, I don't know, we say angry when you hear loud music or that sort of music, but it doesn't mean you're angry.
She sounds quite angry if you hear her lyrics.
Maybe. I wouldn't
quite
like
a lot
to
of
speculate.
Words.
I don't know, maybe you have that feeling of not dissatisfaction with your experience or the world around you, and it doesn't always go away as you get older. Some people get old, accept it, mellow out. Some people don't.
Yeah. That's why I said she's quite special, and also that energy is still quite raw and you're quite up to date, and it definitely doesn't sound like a normal 71-year-old.
No. And I for one would like to see that extend to more people.
Yes. 我们都认同假如 Kim Gordon 的这种能量能够感染到更多的人，那挺好的。On that note, sleeping pills, sneakers. When old becomes new and refreshed, it's springtime.
So we will take our eternal dissatisfaction elsewhere and say goodbye.
我们下一次再见，下一次我们会在伦敦继续带来更多的音乐。
This was London Ears.
Until next time, bye bye.
Bye bye. This is London Ears.